We've chosen together to serve him. That's a wonderful lead into the continuation of the Romans chapter 1 offertories that I've been doing for the last several months. What does it mean to be a spirit-led servant? What does a spirit-led servant look like? What's the motivation behind spirit-led servants? And we've talked about the fact that a spirit-led servant is thankful, is not self-motivated, self-driving, but is driven by the Spirit, has a concern and a care for those God has entrusted to them, is obedient, is willing, anxious to serve, is loving, has a loving and giving spirit, and last time we talked about the fact that the spirit-led servant is humble. This week, I'm going to address Romans chapter 1 in verse number 14. And it says, I am under obligation both to Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Basically, the spirit-led servant has a sense of duty, a sense of responsibility to God, to Jesus, to share the gospel. It's not out of a sense of have to, but out of a sense of want to. The motivation is, I want to do this. There's an overwhelming gratitude to God for the forgiveness that he's given us and to Christ for the sacrifice that he made. As a result, there's a responsibility to share. He's saying with the educated and with the uneducated. He says both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. So he's in those times, the Greeks were seen as the educated, the sophisticated. The barbarians, the ones who didn't understand Greek, didn't speak Greek, were seen as uneducated and therefore unsophisticated. So he's saying, I have this responsibility to both ends of the spectrum and everything in between, to share Christ and the hope that's within me. In chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, in verse 16, Paul makes this point. He says, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward, but if against my will, I have the stewardship entrusted to me. Point being is, stewardship, pronounced oikonomia in the Greek. I did that very smoothly, didn't I? Almost sounded like a native speaker. Means the management, oversight, or administration of another's property. Okay? Paul is applying this word in this passage in a theocratic sense. He's applying it to the office that God has bestowed upon him to proclaim the gospel. So he's saying, I have a stewardship. I have a responsibility. We'll see in Acts a little bit more about this stewardship and how Paul's been called. And in Acts chapter 9, if you remember, Paul is stricken blind by Christ, and Jesus he goes into Damascus, and Jesus calls on somebody named Ananias to go to Jesus or to go to Paul and deliver a message. In verse 15, it says, but the Lord said to him being Ananias, go, for he, being Paul, is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Point being is, Jesus is saying, I'm going to show Paul how much he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake. While we don't naturally look or desire to suffer, Paul is more than willing to do this, and he's willing to do it gladly. Why? Because of the gratitude for what Jesus has done for him. As a result, he has a stewardship entrusted to him. He feels a duty, a responsibility to share the gospel of Christ. Now, if we look in chapter 10, we encounter Peter. And you know the story. Peter has left Jerusalem, and God is moving Peter. First stop is Lydda. And so he goes in, he heals somebody there. There's a need for him in Joppe. So he's gone from Jerusalem to Lydda and now up to Joppe. Okay? So here he encounters God. He's on the top of a roof. He feels hungry. That's odd, isn't it? God drops a sheet full of all kinds of animals, four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth. And he says, get up, Peter, kill and eat. And in verse 14, Peter says, no way. I've never done it. I'm not going to do this. That's wrong. Voice comes back and says, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. So Peter's reflecting on this, and what happens? Three people from Caesarea knock on the door. Why is this unusual? Well, God is moving Peter, because if you look at the map, he's moving him up the coast. Now he's in Joppa. Who else was in Joppa when he had a decision to make? Jonah. What did Jonah decide to do? Go fishing, right? He goes out. So can you imagine if Peter's sitting there? Peter's a fisherman. What if Peter goes, I think I'm going to go out on the boat for a while. But he doesn't do that. God is moving him in this direction. Next stop, Caesarea. So here come three guys from Caesarea, and they say, we've got something we need you for up there. So here's Peter, who naturally wouldn't want to do this, but he goes with them. And in verse 24, it says, on the following day, he entered Caesarea. Now, Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. Something I left out of the story, Cornelius is a centurion. That's going to be a red flag for Peter, somebody like Peter. But he goes anyway. Verse 25. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter raised him up, saying, stand up, I too am just a man. As he talked with him, he entered and found many people assembled. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him. Are y'all amazed I'm here? You know, I mean, think about it. We talk about people being changed. And this is Peter. He's been changed. God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or clean or unclean. Point being, you see God directing Peter and Peter responding each way. Why? Because God's called him. This is a calling that he's been given. He wouldn't naturally want to go to Caesarea, but he's willing to do it because he has feels that sense of duty, because Peter remembers what Christ did for him. Peter remembers Jesus asking him, Peter, do you love me? It's easy, point being, to serve when things are familiar, when they're comfortable, when they're enjoyable. But the struggle comes is when you're called to do something that isn't comfortable or enjoyable. That's when you have to remember you have a stewardship. Because to go and do it when it's fun is easy. To go and do it when it's not, you've got to remember, why am I doing this? And the easiest way to remember that is to remember God died for you. Jesus died for you. And we've got an opportunity to go out and share him and the hope that is in us because of him with those around us. He gives us an opportunity to participate. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you for that opportunity to participate in what you're doing. Lord, we thank you for forgiving us. We thank you for bringing us back to you. And Lord, for just joining us in your family. Lord, we recognize we've done nothing to deserve this. We can't do anything on a daily basis to deserve it. You've received us because of who you are, not who we are. And Lord, you simply ask us to recognize that you've given us a stewardship. You've asked us to go out and share this wonderful news with the world. And then when those come to us and receive the love of that truth, that we would just teach them what it is to walk in your ways. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.